Well, the message this morning, I actually was ahead of the curve. The title's actually printed in your bulletin, and it's called You Never Know. I know that I know my knower, who Jesus is, and I know where I'm going, and I know all that stuff. I believe the Word of God. I know that it's true. But you never know what God's going to do and how He's going to do it. The one thing I know about it all is that whatever's going on in my life and your life, it's good. And He's at work. I like what Charles said last week. He felt like God has more joy in our failures when we try than in our virtue when we don't try. And sometimes we think that the purpose of our life is to be good. That's all God wants. He wants me to be good and moral, and He does. That's a byproduct of walking with Him because He's holy. But what He really wants is a living, dynamic relationship with Him and to give us life and life more abundantly. You never know. You never know, like, what kind of challenge does He have for you around the corner? How many of you like this subject? How many of you like certainty? Can I see it? Some of you love certainty. You live for certainty in an uncertain world, so you never know. God's plans in our lives are always greater. You know, Saul was looking for a donkey for his father. The donkeys were lost. And out of that, he was anointed king of Israel. You never know. Rachel just happened to be going to water the camels. Jacob shows up. You never know. The woman at the well went out to just get some water. Jesus sits down and says, "Give me a drink." Who are you, a Jew, talking to me, a woman, and a Samaritan at that? You never know. Paul's on the road to Damascus, fire and anger. He's going to get rid of this new sect of religious heresy. Bam! Saul, why are you persecuting me? You never know when God's going to show up. Peter's just hanging out around John the Baptist, and Andrew says, "Hey, come here, there's a meeting. I want you to meet. We met somebody. We think he's the Messiah." Andrew's Peter's brother. You never know. Boom. Joseph, I want you to check on the condition of your brothers. Go on down to Dothan. That's in Alabama. He said, go all the way down and check on. He's on his way to, and he gets to Dothan. Have you seen him? He said, "I think they went over that way. He's just on an errand." Brothers were not nice, sold into slavery. Later, he saves the whole world. He was just on an errand. You never know. David was sent by his father to bring bread to his son's commanders and to bring food for them and cheese. And David just brought it to his brothers and he was put it the baggage and he said, "What's going on?" And he sees Goliath out there. And David's reaction is he sees everybody with their knees knocked. He says, "Wait a minute. Who is this guy?" Because David didn't see that he was 9 feet tall. He saw that he was taunting the armies of the living God. And the next thing you know, the rest of the story with him killing Goliath, he didn't go there to kill Goliath. But you never know what you're going to do when you're walking with God. Esther was a beautiful girl. Beautiful. And they have a beauty pageant all across the country. And she wins it. She ends up saving Israel. She gets to the point, she had it all, and yet she fell back on the truth and said, "If I perish, I perish." Because her uncle, Mordecai, said, "Maybe you were made for such a time as this." You never know. Zechariah was a priest married to Elizabeth. They were barren. They had no children. Which meant that they were sinful. There was something wrong when you didn't have children. The way the Jews saw that was a lack of God's favor. And they went to offer, there was about 1,000 priests, and they rotated them, 20,000 in all. But the idea of you going into the temple and offering up incense, the odds of any particular priest doing that is you could go your whole life and not be brought in by lot. That particular day, he was. He was chosen to burn the incense on the inner part of the tabernacle. And by the way, it had been 400 years since the book of Malachi, which ends with, I'm going to return the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children to their father. Malachi is a book about the final challenge, and there's 400 years of nothing. You have the book of Maccabees, which isn't in Scripture, telling the story of some of the things Israel was doing. But now there's nothing for 400 years that's in the Scriptures. And this older man who had no children walks in. He's in there burning incense, and he looks to the right, and there's Gabriel. You never know. You never know. Gabriel says, God's heard your petition. You never know. He forgot that prayer. How many prayers for a forlorn child or someone that you prayed intensely for 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago even, and nothing's happened? You never know. Gabriel might show up. Do you know these people that had no favor? The son that they were going to have was the greatest man in the history of the world. This Jewish couple, and he just goes to the temple to do his deal. And of course, Gabriel tells him what he's going to do. He's perplexed, then he's afraid. And poor Zechariah says, well, how do I know for sure? And then, of course, Gabriel gives him his resume. Gabriel says, look, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. You know who's talking to you? Because you've done this, you won't speak or hear until the time is right. So he leaves the temple. He comes out. He was there longer. It says in the Scripture the people were perplexed why. And he comes out, and he starts making signs because he can't talk. They know something's happened. Now, I don't know what happened next, except that they go back home and she conceives. Elizabeth is on cloud 9. You never know. She says, look what God has done. Did she wait a long time? Yeah, but you never know. If you're in any kind of situation where you're in abeyance, where you're waiting for something to happen that you're hoping, whether it's a healing, a provision, or something in your life, you just never know, because all your petitions have been heard. They're filed in heaven next to God Almighty, at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I'm telling you, the aberrant situations in our lives, the children, the relatives, the things that we worry about, the country, all the things we pray for, you never know what God's going to do. And I stood in wonder when I watched the Berlin Wall fall down. Because as a teenager, I remember seeing pictures of people going over the wall and being shot with machine guns hung up on the wires, trying to get out of East Berlin. And there was no way, because of the war and the Cold War and the nuclear threats and all that was going on in the world, that ever that wall would come down and people would celebrate. But you never know. That was a huge miracle. Israel had not been a nation for how many years? Thousands. 1948. You just never know. How do you become a nation after 7 million of you are killed in World War II? You never know. I'm telling you, the one thing I do know is go into all the world and make disciples. Okay. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That's what they're doing. They're learning. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he says, and lo, I'm with you always. I got a bad. And lo, how's that? One thing you never know.
You never know.
When sometime he's going to sneak up on right up on you, it's candid camera. You never know. How's that? Forget it. All right, I'll use the, it's the sweater. It's cashmere, by the way. Hey, that's a big deal. You never know. You never know. So many things. C.S. Lewis said, the moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists of shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. Faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. Oswald Chambers. See not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. Augustine. If God brings you into it, even Nepal, he'll bring you through it. If the Lord fails me at this time, it will be the first time. George Mueller. If the Lord fails me this time, it'll be the first time. Corey, I quote this a lot, never be afraid to trust a known God to an unknown future, or an unknown future to a known God. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. Zacharias, his name means the Lord remembers. And he brought this son to him through a miraculous, they were older, they were beyond normal childbearing. I wasn't there, but I'm going to go as far as to say I doubt that they had been praying for children again. Whoops, can't go. You never know. I doubt that they prayed so long for this to have children and didn't have it. How many have ever really prayed fervently for something and nothing happens, and after a while you kind of just accept it and then you just live with it? Can I see your hands? Okay, we all know what that's like. But what did Gabriel say? The Lord has heard your petition. He doesn't have a clock on your petitions. In other words, what was it? And there are things I prayed that I've forgotten that I prayed. And he's remembered that. And he's going to bring you into it. Here's one you probably forgot. I give you my whole life. You can do anything you want with me. When I came to you, I no longer claim my life as my own. Lord, if you can do anything with this sinful person, you've got it all. Do whatever you want. And then, of course, time goes on and things change. It's been said that sin has turned the whole world into a hospital. The world is in a mess. So the Lord says, I want you to be in the world, but not of it. I don't want you to drive your life from it, your identity from it. I want you to be in it. I want you to be normal. I want you to be fun. I want you to look nice. I want you to jog. I want you to play golf occasionally. I want you to do whatever you do. It's okay. But you're not, you're a pilgrim. You're a sojourner. You're an ambassador. You're passing through to another kingdom, and you're not for sale. The fact that the world doesn't own us doesn't mean the world doesn't want us. It's always lurking at the door. Sin is sweet in the mouth and bitter in the stomach. When the Great Commission says, "Lo, I am with you always," the actual literal translation is, "No, I am with you always. No, I am with you always." The Lord was with Mary. Hail Mary. The Lord is with you. I could go through all of the different men and women in the Bible. The Lord is with you. Fear not. Well, the Lord's with us. Would you say that with me? The Lord is with us. Oh, that's so weak. All right, let's switch to the Lord is with me. Let's try that. The Lord is with me. Is he? Well, let's start believing. I mean, he is. Okay, but you never know. You do not know how you're going to get from A to B. That's part of the fun. How are you going to do this? Bob Mumford said he used to, well, actually he got me to do it one time. I know this sounds juvenile. I was by myself. Dudley was somewhere and I had the whole house to myself. And I used the time to pray. And I don't know, this sounds, I played hide and go seek with the Lord. Where are you? And I'd walk into different rooms looking for him. Are you in here? Are you over here? It was fun. It was fun. I mean, I don't want to get overly personal, but I've had a lot of fun with the Lord.